We're going to read a few verses by way of introduction this morning. Ezekiel chapter 20, we're going to begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me." At least part of the captivity, the deportation to Babylon has already occurred. And what we have here in Ezekiel 20, we have some Jewish elders coming to sit before Ezekiel to inquire of the Lord. Verse number 2, it says, "Then came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Are ye come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. Wilt thou judge them, son of man, wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, In the day when I chose Israel, and lifted up mine hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up mine hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God, in the day that I lifted up mine hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Then said I unto them, Cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." And right here we have a reference to the fact that while Israel was in Egypt, they did worship some of the gods of Egypt. We don't have much of that reference anywhere else, but in some of the prophets you will find that the Israelites, before God brought them out, they were worshiping some of the idols of Egypt. Verse 8, "But they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted before the heathen, among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them, in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt, and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes, and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover also, I gave them my Sabbaths, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen in whose sight I brought them out. Yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Because they despised my judgments, and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, mine eye spared them from destroying them, neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. But I said unto their children in the wilderness, Walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. And hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God." I want us to think about that word tonight that we have seen in several verses, beginning in verse number 12, all the way down through verse number 20. It's the word Sabbath. And I want to bring you a message tonight entitled, very simply, What If? What If? Let's pray and let's ask the Lord to help us tonight And I believe He will. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to come once again to Your house. Father, to be helped from Your Word. And Father, I pray that You would do that, whether it would be an individual or all of us gathered here in this auditorium, or whether it would be individuals that are gathered maybe around a computer, maybe even around a TV screen, maybe around a phone tonight. Father, I pray that You'd help each and every one of us. Father, I believe that I know that You're trying to teach us some things through what's going on in our nation right now. And I pray that tonight would be one of those instances, one of those issues, one of those subjects that You teach us about tonight. And so, Lord, we just commit these next few moments. Father, I want to be clear. I don't want to be long. I want to be helpful tonight. And so I pray that You'd help me to do so. Lord, be with those that are sick. Lord, we ask that You'd be with Mr. Bill Davis. Continue to help him. Father, be with Miss Doris. We ask that You would help her right now. And Lord, we know there are others that are sick physically, Lord. They need Your help tonight. And we ask that You would do a work in their hearts and lives even tonight. We pray for those that are spiritually sick tonight. Some that need to be saved. Some that just need to repent and come back to You. Father, we pray that You would convict. Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would work in their heart even right now. Whether they're watching tonight or not, may Your Holy Spirit work in their heart tonight. Help them to see their need for salvation. Help them to see their need to get right with You. We love You, Lord. We commit these next few moments to You, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Sunday used to be a day widely reverenced and respected in America. Very few businesses would be open on Sunday. Sunday was referred to as the Lord's Day. Sunday was the day when we went to church in the morning, ate a huge dinner afterward, took a nap in the afternoon, and then went back to church in the evening. Sunday was the day when we renewed our minds and refreshed our bodies after a full week of labor and toil. Sunday was the day when our hearts and minds were fixed upon the One who had blessed us beyond measure during the preceding week. Sunday was the day for corporate worship and even for corporate service, whether that service was lifting our voices in the choir, imparting truth in a Sunday school class, wrangling children on a bus route, nurturing little ones in the nursery, or passing an offering plate amongst the pews. Sunday was the day for singing, for preaching, for fellowshipping, for worshiping, for offering, for sacrifice, dedication, encouragement. It was a day for conviction and tears. It was a day for repentance and amens and salvation. It was a day for quiet considerations. And we could go on and on. But what is Sunday now? In the year 2020. Sunday isn't the Lord's Day, but it's man's day. Sunday has become just another day, nothing spectacular about it. Sunday is now the day to wash the car. It is the day that we sleep till noon. Sunday is the day to play golf or to take the boat to the lake. Sunday is the day to have lunch at the pub at 11 o'clock. And then catch a Hollywood God-hating movie at the theater at 12 o'clock. Sunday is the day when families schedule their get-togethers, birthdays and reunions. Sunday is the day when Satan steals the good seed of the preached word by having us leave church and immediately fix our minds upon the NFL, PGA, and NBA. And by the way, I raise my hand, I'm guilty on that. Sunday is the day for travel ball and ball practice because apparently there aren't enough other days in the week for it. In short, Sunday is now the day when our hearts are fixated upon the pleasures of self instead of a passion for the Savior. We are righteously angered and indignant at the recent labeling of the church as non-essential. I think we would all agree with that. However, I'd like to ask all of us tonight, whether here or there, I'd like to ask all of us a sincere question. Even before COVID-19 brought our world to a screeching halt, hadn't many American Christians already made Sunday the Lord's Day a non-essential part of their lives. They could take it or leave it. I am not saying tonight that the shutdown is the result of a neglect of the Lord's Day. I have no extra biblical revelation on that. But as I was studying through this very book during the month of March, when the COVID-19 panic began, I couldn't help but to think, what if? You see, these elders, these Jewish elders, had come to Ezekiel, and they sat down before Ezekiel there in Babylon by the river of Chebar, or Kabar, however you pronounce it. And they sat down there and they asked Ezekiel for him to inquire of the Lord and to inquire. I don't know exactly what they wanted to hear, but they wanted him to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord comes back and he just rehashes and rehearses why they are there. You're here in Babylon because of your sin. You're here in Babylon because when I brought you out of Egypt and I asked you to put away those gods of Egypt, and when I brought you into a land that, and by the way, notice what the Bible says, where we're at, Ezekiel chapter 20. Let me see if I can find it again. It says it twice in our reading. In verse number 6, he speaks about the land of Canaan. He said, which is the glory of all lands. He said, I brought you into a land which is the glory of all lands. And I submit to us tonight that when Christ saved us, he brought us into the glory of all lands. He brought us into the abundant Christian life. And as I studied through Ezekiel and as I read here in chapter 20, and then there's verses in chapter 22 and chapter 23, and then in chapter 44, I could only ask myself the question, what if? What if God is challenging our appreciation for His day? You see, here the Jewish elders are in Babylon. They've been removed from their city. They've been removed from their country. They've been removed from everything that they love. And one of the reasons that they had been removed is because they had polluted their Sabbath day. God had given them a Sabbath. It was a sign between He and they, or between Him and them. It was a sign, and they polluted it. The Bible says they profaned it. We'll see in just a moment. And that was part of the reason that they were now in Babylon. And I had to wonder, what if? Has God taken away our opportunity and ability to meet together because we've lost an appreciation for it? Because we've traded it for so many other things? Because we've traded it for self-pleasures? And now the government has essentially said church is non-essential and you don't need to go? What if God is confronting us with our lack of reverence for His day? You see, here's the truth. Sunday is still the Lord's Day. And by the way, tonight, Sunday is not the Sabbath. Okay, I know that tonight. And I'm not trying to say that Sunday is the Sabbath, because it's not. But God has given us Sunday. He has given the New Testament church, He has set it apart. He has given us Sunday, the first day of the week, to come and to corporately worship together. And by the way, He says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And so tonight, just briefly, I'd like to ask us the question, what if? But I would like to ask that as we look at this word, Sabbath, and what it was supposed to mean to the nation of Israel. And I want us to think, as New Testament Christians, I want us to think about the Lord's Day, Sunday. And what does it mean to us? I hope now that this being the third Sunday that we all haven't been able to meet together, I hope the Lord's Day means a little more to us now. I hope fellowshipping and coming and singing and coming and hearing the preaching and coming and being... My favorite... Look, as a child, my favorite time of the week was Sunday night. That was my favorite time of the week. Because Sunday night, we went to church, and after church, My mom and dad stayed around for an hour or two fellowshipping, and me and my buddies got to go outside and play. That was my favorite time of the week. Now you say, Pastor, that's not what church is about. I get it, but that's my memory. Because at that time, at least in my household, my mom and dad reverenced the Lord's Day, reverenced Sunday, and there wasn't a question. Look, I grew up on a farm, and there were times when my dad would have to stay home Sunday night. There were times when my dad would have to stay home Wednesday night. But I'm going to tell you what, it was rare for us and for my brother and myself and my little sister when she came along, it was rare for us not to be at church on Sunday. That was rare because it was the Lord's Day. And so tonight, let's look and see what the Bible says, just briefly, superficially. We're only going to scratch the surface of this word tonight. But I want us to see, first of all tonight, the purpose of the Sabbath. The purpose of the Sabbath. Would you look at verse number 12? The purpose of the Sabbath. First of all, and I'll give you three things here and three truths about the purpose of the Sabbath. First of all, it was a day for distinction. It was a day for distinction. And by the way, the Sabbath wasn't just Friday evening to Saturday evening. It was also a reference to the special feast days as well. So when we talk about the Sabbaths in the Bible and the Sabbath day, it was talking about Friday evening to Saturday evening. That was their Sabbath day. But it was also talking about the special feast days, the high and holy days that they were supposed to celebrate. And notice verse number 12 with me, if you would. The first purpose that I want us to see tonight is that it was a day for distinction. Verse 12, moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths. Notice it was personal. He said, my Sabbaths, my days of rest, my days of sanctification, if you will. Notice this, to be a sign. That day was for a distinction, for the nation of Israel to be shown as the distinct people who they were. He says, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. He said, look, this is a day to be set apart. You're not supposed to do any work. Now, I know Brother Jeff talked about it this morning. They had some crazy rules about the Sabbath. And there was a point where they took it so far. But the day was specifically set apart for this day to be a sign between the Jew and Jehovah. It was to be a sign of the sanctification, the setting apart of a special people. And by the way, that's exactly what the Lord's Day is for us today. The Lord's Day is the day which has been set apart for a special people, God's saints. Those that have been born again, those that have been saved by the blood of Christ. It was a day for distinction. I want you to hold your place here. If you don't have to turn, but I'm going to turn back to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter number 31. Exodus 31, it was a day for distinction. The purpose of the Sabbath. By the way, one of the good reasons, one of the great reasons for people to come to the house of God on Sunday, first of all, because we're supposed to, but also, and I said this recently, it lets your neighbors know whose team you're on. It lets your neighbors know whose team you're on. And I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about the fact they know that you've got a day set apart distinctly and devotedly for your Savior. And you're going to take some time and you're going to take some effort. And by the way, I mentioned just a moment ago, Sunday was a day of sacrifice. It takes sacrifice sometimes to get up and get to the house of God. It takes sacrifice sometimes to be here, whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday. It takes some sacrifice sometimes. And that's the whole point. It was a day for distinction. Look, this is my God's day. I'm setting this apart. I'm not going to work. I'm going to fix my mind upon Him. Exodus 31, verse number 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. That sets you apart. You're special. You're my chosen people on this earth. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. Now, I'm thankful today. We're not put to death if we're not in church on the Lord's Day. Aren't you glad for that? Yeah, I'm glad for that. Look, I understand. We live under grace. I get all that. But there shouldn't be. Look, grace elevates the law. Grace goes above the law. And so if God set apart a day for His people so that they would take time and set apart and take time and stop and just halt at the end of the week and give time to Him and put their thoughts upon Him, don't you think He wants us to do that? He says, "Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore," verse 14, "for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant." I understand we have a new covenant. We have the covenant that's been made with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we don't have to keep the Sabbath. I understand that. There are those who believe that we still have to keep the Sabbath. There are those that still meet on Saturday because they believe we have to keep the Sabbath. Verse 17, "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed." It was a day for distinction. Secondly, it was a day for devotion. It was a day for devotion. It was a day for distinction for God's people to be set apart distinctly. People would know these are God's people. It was a day for devotion. Again, the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter number 20. It was a day for devotion. And I believe this is why the Lord's Day is so important even today. It's a day for devotion. Now, here's the truth. I know, being in the age of grace, being in the New Testament church, every day is a day of devotion. Because we are the temple of God. Okay, I understand that. But they set that day apart, the Friday evening to Saturday evening, to be a day of devotion. Look at verse number 8 if you're there in Exodus chapter 20. The Bible says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and," the Bible says, "He hallowed it." He blessed it, and He hallowed it. Leviticus chapter 19, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." Verse 30 of Leviticus 19. "Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord." And so we see the purpose of the Sabbath. It was a day for distinction. It was a day for devotion. Thirdly, it was a day for direction. It was a day to have hearts directed in the things of the Lord. That's why the Lord's Day today, Sunday, Resurrection Day, is so important for us as the New Testament church. Why? Because it's a day of distinction. It's a day that we have, but the Bible has set apart to be God's day, to be the Lord's day, to assemble together. It's a day for distinction. It is a day for devotion. And by the way, I mentioned just a moment ago, I am guilty. But Satan has been so crafty. Satan is so deceitful. We come to the house of God on Sunday morning and we hear the good seed of the Word of God taught in Sunday school. And we get the good seed of the Word preached during the preaching hour, and we leave, and an hour later or 30 minutes later, we're in front of a television watching NFL or watching a PGA golf tournament, and we have totally forgotten everything that we heard that morning. And by the way, that's not a statement of condemnation, because, look, I'm right there with you. If it is a statement of condemnation, it's a condemnation toward me too. Because there's so many times I do that. I go home on a Sunday afternoon and instead of meditating upon what I heard, and instead of meditating and thinking about, you know what, that was right, I need to get that right, I need to do that differently, the devil gives us an out. It gives us 3 hours in the afternoon of, hey, you don't have to think about what you heard this morning. I wonder in my heart how many individuals have been under the conviction of the Holy Spirit for salvation and needed to be saved, and they went home, and because there's so many other distractions, they totally forgot. They didn't forget, but they put it in the back of their mind and said, I'll deal with that later, and they were never able to deal with it later. The devil is crafty. It was a day for distinction. It was a day for devotion. Now look, I know that's hard. But if we want revival, we're going to have to confront some of the hard things. If we want to totally be right with God, if we don't want to pollute and profane what God has given us, then we need to confront the hard things. The purpose of the Sabbath, it was a day for distinction. It was a day for devotion. It was a day for direction, for their hearts to be directed toward that which was holy and right. So we see the purpose of the Sabbath. Secondly, we see the pollution of the Sabbath. The purpose of the Sabbath. Secondly, the pollution of the Sabbath. Verse number 13, Ezekiel chapter 20, verse number 13. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. How did they pollute the Sabbaths? Then I said I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted before the heathen in whose sight I brought them out. Yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Because they despised my judgments, and notice verse 16, and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. How did they pollute the Sabbaths? First of all, they polluted it with their idols. And I submit to us tonight that we are polluting the Lord's Day with our idols. We are polluting the Lord's Day. It's not reverenced anymore. It's not a special and a spectacular day anymore because we have polluted it with our own idols. God is calling us to Him, and instead of going to Him, we are going to all of our other idols. Yes, we're going to the lake on Sunday. That's an idol. We're taking our boat to the lake on Sunday. That is an idol. We're staying home and sleeping in. That is an idol. What idol is that? The idol of self. The idol of I'm not going to sacrifice a single bit to get to the house of God. Sunday's my day and I'm going to sleep in if I want to. They polluted it with their idols. Verse 17. Nevertheless, boy, God is so merciful. God is so merciful. Nevertheless, mine eye spared them from destroying them, neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. But I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. Notice verse 21. What's the first word? Notwithstanding. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew mine hand and wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth. I lifted up mine hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the countries. because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes and had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. The purpose of the Sabbath, it was for a day of distinction. It was for a day of devotion. It was for a day of direction. And dear church family tonight, God has given us 7 days in the week. God help us that if we can't give Him one day. God help us. He's given us 7 days. If we can't give Him one day, then yes, we're what if? What if this has happened so that we will once again appreciate the Lord's Day the way we used to? The way we used to love to come to church. The way we used to love to sing in the choir. The way we used to love to serve in the Sunday school. The way we used to love to serve on a van route. The way we used to love to serve. Maybe that's what He's doing. What if? It's His day. God help us to reverence the pollution of the Sabbath. They polluted it with their idols. Secondly, they profaned it by ignoring it. Would you go to chapter 22? Would you go to Ezekiel chapter 22? Please, just a couple pages over. Ezekiel 22 and verse number 23. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor it rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law. The priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And notice this, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths. And I am profaned among them. They polluted it with their idols. They profaned it by ignoring it. The Bible says they hid their eyes. And by the way, even before any of this started, how many pastors have started closing church on Sunday night? And I get it. Well, Pastor, Sunday night is not commanded in the Bible. I had another Independent Baptist pastor argue with me about that. He said, you're making man's opinion, you're making it a doctrine. I said, okay, that's fine. I said, you're right. It doesn't command us that we have to be here at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. I said, but you're going to tell me that less church in the 21st century is better for us? Well, you're just making, you're taking man's tradition and making it a doctrine. Because, and he told me, he said, because that's just a tradition that you love. You love Sunday night church. I said, you're right. But again, answer me the question. Are you telling me that less church in the 21st century is better than more church? I mean, if we want to follow the Bible, then let's go back to Acts 2. And let's meet every day. And I say follow the Bible. The Bible doesn't command us to do that, but that's what the first century church did. The Bible doesn't command us, but we could follow that example. No, I'm not going to argue with people about that. If you want your families in your church to come to church less, that's your business. That's why we're Independent Baptists. If you want to do that in your church, have at it. But I told him this. I said, my only concern is that one day, one of the kids out of my church may end up in your church. I said, that scares me to death. And he said, well, yeah, maybe it'll be one of your kids. And that, you know, at first that made me angry, but secondly, it broke my heart that he would make a statement like that toward another pastor. That, yeah, I hope your kids end up in my church. It was a day of distinction. It was a day for devotion. It was a day for direction. And they polluted it with their idols. By the way, the first time this pastor ever canceled his Sunday night church was on Super Bowl Sunday night. Okay, don't argue with me because you just canceled church for an idol. Don't argue with me about man's traditions. Because you just canceled church for the world's tradition. They polluted it with their idols. They profaned it by ignoring. Notice verse 27. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them and that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. And one of the reasons that He did that was because they had profaned and they had polluted their Sabbaths. We see the purpose. We see the pollution. Thirdly, we see the plea. Would you look at Ezekiel 20 once again? And let's drop down to verse 33. The plea. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there, notice this, verse 35, and there will I plead with you face to face. God was so merciful with the nation of Israel. He pled with them over and over again. You have to be, an individual has to be foolish to read the Bible and say that God is not a just God. You have to be foolish to look, if you honestly read the Bible and not see how merciful Jehovah was with His people. Because He pleaded with them. He sent His prophets to them. He pleaded with them time and time again. The Bible says face to face. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. Is that what God is doing right now? I don't know. I'm just saying, what if? What if that's what God is doing for us right now? He's pleading with us face to face. Hey, will you reverence my day once again? Will you have respect for the Lord's day once again? Can you give me one day out of the week? You have seven. And again, I know we ought to be living for Him every day. I know that. But you have seven days out of the week, and I have asked for one. I have asked you to assemble together one day, the Lord's day, the first day of the week. Aren't I worthy of that? The plea. Verse 37, and I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth. I believe this is prophetic and future view, in a future view toward the millennial reign. But he says, and I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn. They shall not enter into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. What if God over these past 3 to 4 weeks and maybe even 2, 3, 4 weeks to go, even more, what if God is saying, hey, will you look at what Israel did? They profaned and polluted my Sabbaths, and that was one of the reasons why they went into Babylon. That was one of the reasons why they went into Assyrian captivity. What if? I'm giving you an opportunity to repent and have revival. What if? There are many things I pray that happen and that come about because of what has happened in our nation. And that's one of them. Is that once again, the Lord's day in the heart of God's people would be reverence for what it truly is. It's a day of distinction. It's a day of devotion. It's a day for us to have our direction fixed upon the God of heaven. To have our direction, have our minds, have our hearts fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. What if? I don't know, but you can't deny. I can't deny what happened in Ezekiel to the children of Israel because they profaned and polluted God's Sabbaths. His days of rest, His days that He had set apart for them to worship, His day set apart for them to get their minds fixed upon Him, for their for their bodies to be refreshed, for their minds to be renewed. And now we as a people, and I'm talking about America, we rush through 7 days, and then we rush through another 7 days, and then we rush through another 7 days, and then we rush through another 7 days, and many times failing to give God one day. One day. What if? Church family, what if this is what God, one of the things God's trying to teach us right now? Will we, when we come out of all this, I have no doubt our church family, and I've heard from many, man, they're ready to come back. They're ready for this shelter at home to be lifted so they can come back. Okay, but one of these days we are going to come back and we're going to be back to normal when it comes to church services. What then? Is my heart going to be stirred to love the Lord's Day maybe the way I used to? Or after everything gets back to normal, are the idols and the things that we have allowed to take the Lord's Day from us in the 21st century, are they going to catch my eye once again? You see, they were polluted because of their idols. They were profaned because they ignored it. The priest hid their eyes from the Sabbaths. What if? I pray God will teach us many, many things through all this. But one of the things I pray that He'll teach us is to reverence and respect the Lord's Day once again. Father, thank You for the time You've given us tonight. Father, thank You for Sunday. Thank You for the Lord's Day. I know it's not the Sabbath, but Father, I believe there's a great comparison there. Our Lord's Day has been set apart as a day of distinction or for distinction. It's been set apart for devotion. Father, may we do that once again. May we not pollute. May we not profane. They had gotten to the point where they called good evil and evil good. They hid their faces from Your Sabbaths, from Your feast days, from Your celebrations. Just like we do many times from our revival meetings, our missions conferences. Father, those are special. I know they're not feast celebrations, but they're special occasions. Father, may we reverence and respect the Lord's Day once again. What if? Lord, I don't know everything that You're trying to show us. But I know You're working. And I know You want to work. Father, I pray that we would allow You to work. Father, help us during the invitation. Lord, just move as You see fit. Father, if You have worked in our hearts, I pray that we would move and do business with You tonight. Father, I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. If you're here in the auditorium, I'd ask you to stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. And Miss Pam's going to begin to play in just a moment. And if you need to come, if you need to make this platform an altar or the pew that you're at an altar, would you do so tonight? Dear church family, if you need to find an altar tonight, would you kneel in your living room? Would you kneel right there at your couch? Maybe at your recliner, maybe in your bedroom. Maybe you'd find a private place in your home tonight. Maybe you say, Lord, I haven't respected the Lord's Day in recent weeks and months the way that I should have. But Lord, when all this gets back to normal, Lord, I want to reverence Your day. I want to see it as the day of distinction and devotion that it truly is. Lord, would you help me with that? Miss Pam's going to play. Friend, if you need to do business with the Lord, I sure pray that you do that tonight. What if the Lord is trying to strengthen our faith for maybe trials that lie ahead? Maybe even for persecutions that lie ahead for the church. We have seen it in recent days in cities and towns where liberal activists, elected officials, have desired to silence churches and silence pastors. What if God is trying to help us to appreciate not only this place, but His Word, the fellowship that we have as a local body of believers? What if? Dear church family, if in the future, maybe a year, maybe 10 years, maybe 20 years down the road, if our government would say, you know, you can't meet in a building anymore, would you automatically say, fine, okay, I'll stay home, watch the live stream, I'll do that? Or would you join your church family and say, you know what, if they put me in jail, I'm not going to deny, and I'm not going to disobey what God has told me to do. I'm going to assemble together. I don't know that that'll happen. I pray that it doesn't. But what if? Amen. Thank you so much for your attention today and for your attendance. Thank you for those who watched, tuned in today by live stream. Look forward to seeing you back, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. And let's pray. I'm praying that May the 3rd, 2 weeks from today, we'll be able to all be back together. Pray that the shelter at home will be lifted May the 1st, and we can all be back together worshiping together. So pray that way, and pray that we'll be able to do that. Let's pray and be dismissed tonight. And I'm going to ask Brother Jackie Moore to pray for us tonight. Dismiss us, please, sir.
Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for what we've heard today, Lord. And we thank you that we have the freedom to come together, Lord. And we pray that it will never be taken away. Lord, we just pray that we reverence it, Lord, honor it, Lord, that we would all be back together again. And thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. We pray that you just give us a good week and bring us back together. In Jesus' name.
Amen. You are dismissed.